Welcome back to Brits in the End Zone. I'm so excited to be back in the podcast studio with my friends Josh, Dan, and Charles. JP is off for the wedding, but I'm sitting in his place, and I couldn't be more pumped.
Hey, let's go!
Brits in the End Zone.
Come on, let's go!
So we have Christian with us, which is incredibly exciting, our expert from the States.
Hey, guys.
Well, you know, I think you're definitely an expert in comparison to these two, anyway.
Ooh.
Greeny's
not you. Compared to you, you're up there with the
Christian. We're on par. Greeny's done the running order today, and he started off by saying that three quarters of the squad are now married.
Yeah, but now it's 50%.
Quite bitter about this, aren't you?
Well, if Christian's here replacing JP,
Christian
it's 50%.
Is here. But there's one way to change that, Greeny.
Get divorced, mate.
Let's kick off with the question of the week, which comes from Rediguana26. Jamie, I believe that is. What players scare the hell out of you based on their current ADP, average draft position? What does that even mean, scare the hell out of you? As in they're really high?
They're being drafted a lot earlier than you would be happy to take them.
Okay, got
I'm not sure any pick should really scare the hell out of you physically, but
yeah, I mean,
that's getting carried away.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it was
Christian, any players that are scaring you as an American?
I'll tell you what, the scary players are really the early guys, because with your first round pick, you want to get somebody that you know is going to be there and is going to produce for you. And I personally tend to go with safer picks. The guy that's going in the end of the first round scaring me is Dalvin Cook.
Me too.
This is a guy with pretty serious ACL injury. And I stay away from the ACL. It's a really serious injury. Usually if people do come back from it, it's at 80% efficiency. And that's even after like a year, 2 years. Sometimes people can get crazy.
This is unbelievable knowledge.
And he's also not in the best situation. Minnesota does not have a fantastic line. He's an incredibly talented player, but they still have Latavius Murray in there. He's going to get carries, could see carries in the goal line. And there's a lot of mouths to feed. For me, he's somebody with a massive injury risk and who's not going to get a ton of work, at least not guaranteed.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
That all day long. guys, if you can make it like 5 seconds, because you're not going to top that. Greeny?
I was going to do American
accent. Yeah, I saw you lining it up. Better that you don't.
The ones that scare me, I have an early first round pick, so I'm always going to go running back, or at least, you know, most people would. Therefore, I'm looking to get the wide receivers in the third, fourth round to kind of compensate. They all scare the hell out of me. There's a lot of players there which have no real reason that they should
give me a name,
such as Juju Smith-Schuster. He's going in the third round based on his productivity when Antonio Brown was injured last year. You've also got Corey Davis, who did absolutely nothing last year, and he's going in the fifth round. There's a few others like Thielen. You know, he's been picked as another superstar this year. You've got a new coordinator, you've got a new quarterback, and you've got a new style of play. So everything could be different this year. Okay. He shouldn't be too early in the third round.
Charles, anyone to add to that list?
I mean, I had Juju. I definitely think I really like him as a player, but he's going too early for a second wide receiver on the team, potentially even the third behind Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. And also Brandon Cooks. He has always kind of been perennially a top 15-20 wide receiver, but the difference this year is he's not playing with a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback previously in Drew Brees and Tom Brady. Jared Goff is not quite in that stratosphere yet. And also they've got a lot of other receiving options, as well as Gurley out the backfield. And it's more name value than opportunity, so I'm a bit worried about drafting him that early. And another one is Kerryon Johnson has been really rising up the boards, almost to the point. Was that what you were?
No, I can assure you, I was not going to say that. I don't know who that is.
He's a rookie running back for the Detroit Lions, and he's had a good preseason.
They're an awful team.
They actually look very good.
Wait until later.
He's just gone mental in the ADP, and to the point, and he was not even going to be the starter at the beginning of the season. And I think that's. There's a lot of mouths to feed.
It's four of them.
They've never really had a good running back, and it's a difficult situation. He's being overdrafted.
My knowledge of NFL so far this year is based purely on Hard Knocks, and I've seen that three episodes. So
are you going to go in JUCO
research? So I'm liking. Is it Galloway? Garraway?
Antonio Callaway.
Callaway.
Think of golf. Callaway.
Yeah. Okay. Callaway. He looks good, doesn't he? They played him every snap as like punishment for being caught with weed or something, which I quite enjoyed.
You enjoyed the weed?
No. And Jarvis Landry, obviously a good player. He looks pretty good.
I think he's one of the safer players. Question, he's one of the safer players in that mid round.
Yeah, although in a way,
in what mid round?
I talked about those risky wide receivers in the middle of the rounds, third, fourth, fifth.
Okay.
He is one of the safer players.
It's not really the middle of 15, but I get your point. It's a bit deceiving. Middle rounds is normally about 7 to 9, and they're going a lot earlier.
Early skill
rounds.
You mentioned the Browns, and actually, I was kind of thinking about they might actually be quite scary because it's the Browns, and they've got a lot of receiving options. They've got Josh Gordon, they've got Jarvis Landry, they've got Antonio Callaway, they've got David Njoku. Tyrod Taylor's their quarterback, and he's a rushing quarterback, doesn't really throw that much. And so for two wide receivers in Josh Gordon and Jarvis Landry going in the third, fourth round, that's a bit worrying as well. I don't know how they'll be able to
Lots of worry, not enough fun. this is the running back show. So the question on everyone's lips is, what makes a good running back? Christian, do you want to let us know what you think makes a good running back?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a bit of a football nerd. I like watching a lot of tape, and I wanted to, I watch a lot of people on YouTube, but really it's a lot of Brett Coleman and Chris Harris. I highly recommend you look them up. And
are they analysts then?
Yeah, so I believe Chris Harris used to work for ESPN, and Brett Coleman kind of went out on his own after scouting professionally and has his own YouTube series.
Cool.
And they're both fantastic, so I recommend you look them up. And from watching a lot of their scouting tape and from doing my own, I came up with four things that when I'm looking at a running back, what I'm looking for to say, is this guy good? Now, why does that matter? You have running backs who have not had a lot of work, and maybe they've done well or poorly in a limited time, and there's maybe an opportunity for them. I want to take a look at what he's done in the past and say, hey, if this guy gets an opportunity, is he someone that's going to explode? So this would be something maybe looking at Alvin Kamara in the preseason, Alvin Kamara in college, Alvin Kamara in the first four weeks and saying, oh my God, if something happens, this guy's going to be amazing. Okay, so my first trait that I'm looking for is elusiveness. And I ask myself questions when I watch tape. So it's stuff like, how good are his cuts? And by cuts, I mean kind of like juking out of the way or cutting into a lane when he's rushing with the ball. Does he plant his cut foot and burst out on his go foot? This is the kind of thing, you know. And the other side of that would be, you'll see running backs, sometimes they'll tiptoe around a cut. You know, they'll go around the corner and they'll patter their feet. We don't want that. We want hard cuts.
You're getting aroused from listening to this, aren't you, Adley?
I just want the first cut as the deepest to be played over,
And the most important thing with evaluating any position is to look at what the defenders are doing. Do they miss? Are they off balance? That can tell you a lot about how elusive a guy is. Now, there's a bunch of guys that come to mind when I think of elusiveness. I wanted to get your guys' opinion.
Are you asking us, or are you going to give us names and we agree
Shady
or
McCoy.
Disagree?
Shady McCoy, absolutely.
Yeah, well... Duke Johnson,
yeah.
Is that because of his name?
Duke,
very good. Right. Spelled differently, but correct. Yeah. Good, that was good.
Alvin Kamara is very good at that. He jumps around the players.
Yeah, it's the guys that kind of get yards after contact, isn't it? Or is that not?
Well, I would think
it's kind of avoiding contact. Like,
They would be avoiding the contact.
True. Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell. So Le'Veon Bell is the ultimate for this.
I've won.
You've won. The big guys for me that pop out, and there's a lot of guys that could be on this list, but Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Freeman. I don't know if you guys have seen Freeman. He's scared the hell out
of him.
You've heard of this Freeman guy?
Well, I think I've heard of him.
He's not a big man. He's not a big man.
No.
And he's very small. He's 5'8", and he succeeds.
Still taller than Greeny.
I know.
Sorry, Greeny.
That's a good height.
That is tiny. Unbelievable.
Tiny guy.
Handsome lad.
Watch him next time. He does this jump cut, and it's absolutely astounding. So he sees a lane. He puts down his 1 foot, and instead of just cutting, he leaps 3, 4, 5 feet at a time to the one side to cut. So he's fantastic.
It's just like the fact about the lion, you know, when they jump like 30 feet at a time.
Almost definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Second, acceleration. And these are what I look for. When a player sees space, do you notice that he hits another gear? He's popping out. He's going a certain speed. He sees space and then he pops off. do you see defenders swinging him and miss with their arms, even though he didn't make a move? That basically means that he wasn't where they thought he would be. So they're coming in. These are professional athletes. They're coming in at an angle, and he's further down the field than they thought he would be. That's because he has unnatural acceleration. Hmm. What guys do you think of when you think of acceleration in running backs?
Leonard Fournette.
That's not who I think of.
J.J.
he takes a bit longer to get going.
Yeah.
So Jerick McKinnon.
Jerick McKinnon. He's definitely an acceleration.
Saquon.
I don't know if I'd put him at elite.
Mm. Saquon Barkley.
Well, he's a...
Haven't watched a lot of college.
Jordan Howard.
I've watched some college tape.
Jordan
so.
Howard. He has got one of the best after yards.
David Johnson
running ability.
David Johnson's definitely up there.
I mean, yeah. Well done, Adam. You're just Tariq saying
Cohen.
The top so, quarterback.
Tariq
the top
Cohen,
running
there
back.
You go.
What
yeah.
I'm
Tariq
saying,
Cohen?
Charles, is the correct answer. Every time. Yeah.
Tariq Cohen's another guy. Alvin Kamara. Tariq Cohen has the most fun tape you could possibly... Like, just do yourself a favor and pull up YouTube and look up Tariq Cohen's highlights, because he is a magician back there. He's so fast. Cuts like crazy.
Yeah, he was a bit like Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm. It'd probably do wonders for the algorithms on your search history as well, Charles, just to kind of mix it up a little bit. So.
All right, number three.
Not if you do Tyreek the Freak.
Yeah. Receiving. And these are just some things that are going through the coaches' heads when they're looking for this.
Le'Veon Bell?
Le'Veon Bell, definitely.
Theoretic.
Oh, there's that guy who played for the Patriots in the backfield who was catches.
James White.
No. Different guy played for the Patriots. No.
Deion, yeah.
I think he's moved on now. Pass-catching running
back.
Well,
this is a really good part of the show.
He played for the Patriots like 3 years ago. Oh, whatever. Move on. Keep going.
Fun. All these guys. I mean, Darren Sproles, Giovanni Bernard, LaShawn McCoy, Ty
Duke
Montgomery.
Johnson.
Duke Johnson's one of the best. Duke Johnson has
Christian McCaffrey.
Unbelievable hands. Christian McCaffrey.
Sounds like you've been on the other end of that.
Christian McCaffrey is somebody who wins with his route running. And when I'm looking at...
I just say I'm honored you said route and not route. In respect of Brits in the end zone.
I'm trying to do my best
adjust
for the
noticeable.
Audience. So here's something I look at. Good receivers, when they're catching, they're turning and looking with their head at the quarterback. Too many times, bad receivers, they're looking out for the guy who's coming at them, and they end up dropping the ball and getting smashed. Is he catching with his hands? That's obviously a big thing.
Or his nose.
Yeah. So what I say by this is bad receivers, when they catch the ball, they catch it towards their body.
Gotcha.
They use their chest as the other end and kind of bucket catch it. So pass catching running backs catch with their hands. And then the last thing, is he putting himself in a position where he can catch it in stride? When you see these running backs who are getting all these yards after the catch, they're actually catching away from their body and running up into the ball. And so they don't position themselves exactly where the ball is going to be. They run up to it.
Yeah.
And it's something that Le'Veon Bell and the best guys do. And I know this is a long segment, guys, but I got one last one, and it's power. All right?
Leonard Fournette.
Leonard Fournette. I know a couple of these guys have been thrown out.
Marshawn Lynch.
Lynch, classic.
Thank you.
Adley's on fire.
Ezekiel Elliott,
massive power. Yeah. So these are all the guys that came to mind. Even Todd Gurley.
Yeah. What's his name? LeGarrette Blount.
LeGarrette Blount. Absolutely. Yeah.
LeGarrette Blount.
All these guys you're seeing by the goal line. And for a player who hasn't gotten a lot of work, if you want to see, is this a guy that people are afraid of that has the power that can be used at the goal line, the big things that I look at is, does he keep his balance during contact? When you see people that have contact and fall down, are able to keep going while they're in contact, that's massive, because that's going to get you the extra yards on the goal line.
Absolutely.
Okay, so if you are able to have one elite running back on your team, which of these attributes is most important?
Ooh. Oh,
Le'Veon Bell.
Very interesting.
That's not an attribute.
Elusiveness. I would say the last one, because you want your running back to get over the line with 5 yards to go. Although I guess then you go to your fullback.
Although Fournette, he is injury prone, right? So he's gonna like
who is
allegedly.
He's played one season.
Fournette,
and he got injured.
He missed two games.
He played.
They're always
most of the season.
Yeah, I think it's really tough. I think if he had one trait, but all his other traits are really bad, I'd pick power. You can't go wrong with power.
Yeah, ideally, like Le'Veon Bell, he was obviously mentioned in a lot of the categories. That's why he's probably the best running back, because you want to be good at multiple of these categories.
That was genuinely really interesting. Arguably the most interesting thing we've had since Christian was last on the podcast.
I just wish it was a video show and we could have like him like Gary Neville on the big screen doing yeah. circles.
That's not really how podcasts work, though. We could do like a screen sharing thing.
Get your Skype up.
Yeah. Was that everything from that?
That was it. That was my four. So just to recap, it was elusiveness, acceleration, receiving, and power.
Nice. I like that a lot.
It was very good.
So you've just summed up Charles's attributes in one go, really.
Oh, absolutely.
There's some other
just at dinner.
Some other stuff here. Let's go through that quickly. Elusiveness, absolutely. Like you could be looking one way and your food is gone. Acceleration, obviously. Power, for sure. And pass catching. Throw him some popcorn chicken. He's catching it. Okay, I'll remember that now.
That was phenomenal. In fact, your wife just tagged me in something today about me doing the 60 nugget challenge. So I've already accepted on.
That's an insult. With her. Green, you've written down some other stuff here. Is that you would like to cover that?
Well, I'll do it very briefly.
Yeah,
so
no,
you've
course,
got
yeah.
Christian's kindly mentioned all like, the player factors that affect how good a running back will be. There's obviously some external factors to that, the way the team operates, et cetera, et cetera. So I've just listed out four factors that I find that I look at when I'm looking for a running back. How good is the offensive line? We mentioned this on the offensive lineman show in the first season. If you've got a great offensive line, they're going to create the gaps, and so there's running room for the running backs. Great examples of that are the Eagles have the best. They always win at the trenches, they talk about. They got the best defensive line, probably best defensive line as well, but J.J. will have an opportunity Jax. From that.
What was the Cowboys? Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, the Cowboys.
Who was it they had running back a couple of years ago and everyone kept... And it was
well, Alfred I mean, Morris?
Well, no, they've obviously Murray. Had Zeke and DeMarco Murray, and even when Darren McFadden was there, he ran for 1,000 yards.
Because I remember the thing...
He's not that great.
Didn't DeMarco Murray go to the Eagles?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. And everyone was like, no, actually, the Cowboys had just a really good offensive line.
That was also a different, because they ran a completely different scheme. So it was a completely different type of play.
Yeah.
But then he then went to the Titans and then was amazing again because they played in a similar way to the Cowboys that suited his style.
Cool. So carry on, Green.
But to watch out for the Cowboys this year because their center, Zach Martin, is injured, I believe. So they may be a bit ropier than they have been in the last few years.
Well, there's also Travis Frederick came down. This is the best center in football.
This is a really weird one, isn't it?
Autoimmune disease.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, you know.
Apparently, like, his own antibodies are attacking his nerve system and he's like they don't know how long he's out for, and like a doctor said he's more likely to miss the whole season than make week one
or indefinitely, you know.
Yeah, I mean, who knows how bad. So that's,
yeah, you gotta look out for your health first.
No, absolutely. So Zeke's kind of looking a bit less.
I tell you what,
juicy.
In the second pick of the draft I was looking at Zeke, and news of those two players make me think he's going to go towards the sixth pick or seventh pick, then he would get nearer the top of the draft.
I just can't imagine people in our draft knowing that information apart from you three.
Also, I think he'll still be a top four pick.
Do you reckon JP knew that?
He's on honeymoon.
We'll ask. Yeah, he doesn't care about anything.
So just an example, crap offensive lines to watch out for. The Texans, you might like Lamar Miller, but they got a crap line. The Jets are also got a poor offensive line. And Seahawks also have, but Russell Wilson makes plays either way.
Which leads you on to your next point quite nicely.
Exactly. If you do have a good quarterback, then and skill players like wide receivers and tight ends, defenders are not going to what they call stack the box, which means they're not going to have, six men up front blocking the lanes of the running back. You're more likely to have corners and safeties stretching the field, so there's more gap for the running backs.
A prime example of that is, or a lack thereof, is whilst the Jags have a decent offensive line, Blake Bortles doesn't strike anyone with fear, and without Allen Robinson injured last year and a host of rookies as our receivers last year, teams just stack the box all the time, and that's why Leonard Fournette, even though he had a lot of volume, his yards per carry wasn't that great because they just knew the run was coming. So yeah, that's quite a difficult.
And that was 8-man front rather than 6-man front.
Yeah,
wasn't
so
it,
like that was even harder.
Yeah. You got game script. We always said last year, going into it, I think JP loved a bit of Crowell, who was at the Browns. He had a great opportunity. However, the Browns in the Norton 16 season, you were just behind in every single game, so they just had to throw to Duke Johnson. They had to, throw downfield to catch up on the opposition. They didn't have opportunity to run at all. If you're not winning the games, you're not going to run the ball. So be aware of as much. You will run to a certain extent, but you need those first downs.
The main reasons that, of that being twofold. One, you obviously gain more yards if you throw, and also it stops the clock more than running, and that gives you more time to try and catch up.
That's precisely correct. And the last one, which rolls quite nicely into it, is also time of possession. There are a few teams that churn the clock. They aim to run the whole field 90 to 100 yards rather than throw chunk plays. The Cowboys, Zeke always nurses the ball for a lot of the game. He's going to get opportunity to run. Look for those teams. The teams that don't often have the ball, they're not going to run that often.
Okay, so looking at preseason, who has stood out for you at the running back position, would you say?
Me particularly? Well, you're like this. I thought Carlos Hyde for the Browns has looked very good. Well, because you're looking at Browns players specifically.
Right. Yeah, I haven't seen much of him on Hard Knocks, if anything, to be honest.
Yeah, he hasn't really featured. On Hard
Episode
Knocks.
3, did you watch?
I saw it, yeah.
I think the thing with Browns, they've got so many new players, so many new stories that it's impossible to kind of get any...
I've just been loving that tight end, that guy who's
David
got a
Njoku.
Close relationship with his dad.
Oh, no, what was his name? The
juice.
Guy with the witch.
He'd be watching a locker room cam.
Juice, they're whistling. Mm. That's wicked.
That's quite sweet, yeah.
Good juice. Yeah, other guys, you mentioned it before, the reason why Cook's a bit of a risk this year, I think Latavius Murray's had a good preseason. He's run pretty good, pretty well, in fact.
Not against the Jags.
Charles?
Fumbling like 1 yard per carry, but that's the Jags.
Any running back stood out for you? Have you seen any preseason?
Yeah, I'd say a running back that stood out. I mentioned it earlier, Kerryon Johnson has looked very good in the
Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah. It's a great name.
Plays for
the Detroit Lions. He has
my wayward son.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
No fancy footballers references. Yeah.
But so he's obviously one that's been very good and had an appropriate ADP rise as a result of it. But he's one that's looked very, very good.
Christian, anyone for you? How are the Colts doing?
I mean, not great. Not great.
Just in general.
So I would say no one has stood out for the Colts. I have down Kenyon Drake.
Yes.
I caught one of his games and I looked at the full stats, 102 yards and 15 carries, two 30 plus yard runs. I mean, this is a guy who's explosive and I think he's being undervalued. People love themselves some Frank Gore, but I don't know how long Coach Gase is going to be able to keep his job if the team's losing and Drake's not playing.
No, I agree completely.
What team is this? The Colts?
The Miami Dolphins. Another game he played.
Gore moved on.
Gore's moved?
Yeah, another game he played in the preseason against the Ravens. He didn't get many touches, but he averaged, I think, over 20 yards a touch.
He
was phenomenal.
Just to pick up very quickly on what you just said, I think a surefire way to make it look like you know what you're talking about is if in an American accent you go, "This is a guy," and then say something.
Say anything.
This is a guy who has been in the locker room. This is a guy who's been in the locker room and then has been on the field.
Is that how Donald Trump got to press facts? Fake news.
And the two guys, you know, the preseason, you're going to see a lot of backup guys. That is not a bad thing, though, because some of them have a lot of talent. And the two backup guys who I think people might want to be targeting at the end of their drafts is John Kelly out of Tennessee. He's the backup for Gurley. This is a guy who could be a three-down monster running back.
Writing notes.
If Gurley were to go down.
Yeah.
And James Conner.
Yeah.
James Conner looked fantastic in Pittsburgh. It's the same thing. Bell's had a lot of work the last 2 years. Connor would step right in. And
what kind of rounds are we talking?
Oh, last pick.
These would be last
14th
pick.
Yeah, sixteenth round.
You don't even. I wouldn't even suggest you really draft them because
so you don't agree with Christian?
Well, no. I think they're good to watch out for on the waivers. But if you draft them, they have pretty much zero value until there's an injury. crossing out those notes you just made. I think you know. We've seen before with the Steelers that, you know, whilst Le'Veon Bell is phenomenal, that their offensive line and their system is built to let any running back be successful. We saw D'Angelo Williams, who even right at the end of his career was phenomenal in the same system. So it's built for anyone. If Le'Veon goes down, then James Conner can step right into that role.
Okay, so quick fire round, looking at fantasy football in particular. So a few questions I'll spring at you guys and you can each maybe take one. But jump in if you're overly excited. Charles, I'm sure you've got answers for all of them. Charles, I'll start with you. If I go wide receiver first two rounds, why don't I mind as
What?
Who don't I mind? So I can't read. If I go wide receiver first two rounds, who don't I mind as my running back one? That's a very good question, and one that I came up with in my mock draft, where I went at number 9, OBJ, and then AJ Green was on the board, so I kind of went him and got all a bit scared that I was then going to be left with some shite. So
Well, I think I've got three guys who are all going around.
Just
that.
Give the one.
No, I think, well, we just mentioned Kenyon Drake, and I think he could be very good, but Alex Collins and Joe Mixon are, I think, safer, but I think Drake has a lot of upside.
And you think they'll still be there? Joe Mixon will still be there?
Joe Mixon, maybe not at the end of the third round from where you're picking, but maybe at the beginning of the third round if you've gone wide receiver. And then I think in order they'll probably go Mixon, Collins, Drake. So depending on where you are picking in the third round, having gone wide receiver in this scenario, I'd be happy with any of them, really.
Sounds like a good rap crew. Greeny, anyone that's glaringly missing from that list or not?
No, that's a decent that's a group. List. I'd add Jordan Howard to that.
Jordan Howard, okay.
He's gone a little early.
Definitely Jordan Howard. He is making it to third round in some drafts, and I think, he would definitely
PPR
be
drafts.
we're a half-point PPR draft.
It's true. Yeah. It's true.
Okay.
All right, I got one I'm going to throw in there.
Yeah, go on.
And this is a guy who's been falling.
This is a guy who eats in the morning and goes to sleep at night.
This is a guy that you should not be afraid of. His ADP is falling like crazy, and everyone's scared. Oh, his offensive line. It's LeSean McCoy.
Oh, yeah.
LeSean McCoy is going in the third round. Yes, there's some issues with the law, the long arm of the law. And people are scared that Buffalo's not going to do anything. Their offensive line is horrible. But that's always been the case in Buffalo. This is an incredibly talented guy. He didn't look done at
very
all.
Elusive.
Very elusive. I'd be all over LeSean in the third round.
I think he'll go in the second. And it's in our league anyway. But I think he'd be foolish.
If you draft him, maybe. But I don't think he will.
I think he will, but anyway, we'll let you know when the draft is hurt on next week.
A running back with a great opportunity is Greeny.
We covered him, but I think Joe Mixon. The reason why he wasn't so great last year is, some rookies develop later than others. Also, they didn't actually have a lot of attempts, throwing attempts or running attempts. They didn't have the ball a lot. They had a horrible year, bad offensive line. He's got a real opportunity to make a stamp on the game, really, because they're throwing to him a lot in preseason. I think he could be a top 5 to 8 running back.
Well, and that's why he's kind of going up near the beginning of the third round, as opposed to beginning, like he was going a lot later, certainly beginning of this offseason and even last season. Even though he didn't do very well this year, people are starting to buy into the fact that it was an off season last year.
Everyone loves that one catch, right?
Yeah.
He in the first preseason game, he caught that one ball, juked out two guys, and scored a touchdown. And then the news came out, and he's like, he's lost 18 pounds. He'll be amazing. And everyone's like, draft him.
And I might.
Okay, a running back who will break out of a timeshare is Christian. Do you want me to define that for you?
Kenyon Drake. It's Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, I can.
Where's Kenyon Drake going in drafts?
Kenyon Drake's going. Charles had mentioned him as his third round guy. He's going squarely in the middle of the third round. People, I think, like his talent. They like what they saw. They don't really know if this is someone, if given more opportunity, can continue to play that way. I think he can after watching his tape and following my 4 traits.
Nice.
And I don't think Gore or what's his name?
Kellen Ballage.
Yeah, Ballage is anything to be worried about.
So third round.
Okay. Let's
get out of the third round here. We've been sticking.
Well, I was going to say, but Kenyon Drake. I got him last year to replace the suspended Zeke, and so I was kind of watching him quite a lot, and he just looked so good. He didn't get them all that much, but you're right. So many big 30-yard plus plays because of how quick and strong he is, and so I think he's going to be a good one to pick. And another guy who I thought might break out of a timeshare is, once he's fit, is Marlon Mack. He is going quite late in drafts, and last year didn't do that well behind Frank Gore. Now Gore's gone. They drafted two rookies who are rookies. They were kind of late round picks, but the one thing that the Colts got, two big differences with the Colts this year: Andrew Luck's back, and like Greeny mentioned, if you've got a big quarterback, that helps your run game immensely. And the other thing that helps your thing immensely is also what Greeny mentioned, is the offensive line. And their two first picks in the draft this year were offensive line, and one of them is a guard who's touted to be the best offensive guard in the last 10 years. So that's a huge improvement.
How do you be a really good guard apart from just blocking?
It's technique and size. Here we go.
I mean, I can answer this
from five forces.
Yeah, I can answer this from a technical perspective. The really good guards, so this just general strength, right, which is a good thing. Anyone can be a strong guy. There's a lot of agility and technique in terms of how you're dealing with leverage, how you're stepping back. But the biggest thing right now is a guard that has the speed to get to the outside. If you're ever watching an outside run play, you usually see a guard break away from the line and start sprinting to the outside.
To block for his running back.
To block for his running back.
Like Mike Iapati.
Okay, that's interesting.
A great example.
There you go, you've answered that. And just to be clear, a timeshare means when there's more than one running back kind of fighting for the same kind of
precisely,
like,
yeah. Then there's a big one in going on in...
Think of your condo. You're sharing it with others.
Okay, good. There's a timeshare going on in Green Bay, and no one really knows what's happening there. There's Jamal Williams, who could well be the favourite to start, but Aaron Jones, only because Aaron Jones is suspended for the first two games.
What about Eddie Lacy? Where's he at?
Did you just read Aaron Jones off my list? Because that's who I had.
I don't think Eddie Lacy's with a team.
No, I don't think he is. He likes his food too much.
Eddie Lacy.
A handcuff I don't mind drafting is... Mitosis is...
Sabrina the Teenage Witch reference there.
Yeah, it is. I've got a guy I mentioned last year who had a great game against the Jags, Austin Ekeler, who is the backup running back for the Chargers. I think he has standalone value because they're going to throw out the backfield. He is going to be competing against Melvin Gordon. The Chargers have invested in their offensive line.
Have or haven't?
Have.
Okay.
Have.
Just checking.
They also... are likely to have a far superior season to last year. There's going to be lots of opportunities.
I agree to a point. I think when you're looking at a handcuff, you want someone who can replacement for an injury, and therefore if he gets injured, you want someone who can be there for all three downs. And I don't think Eckler's quite built for that. He's more of a third down back, and I don't think he'd last being a workhorse.
We haven't seen him in that capacity. And do you remember when I did that episode and I was like, oh, he got 60 touchdowns this year and 84 touchdowns the next year?
Yeah, but that was at a lower level at college.
He just produces at every level he's played at.
Okay. Did someone want to jump in with a quick handcuff?
I mean, I was going to throw one out there. I'm a big fan of TJ Yeldon's talent.
Oh, yep.
I don't think anyone would put down a bet that Fournette's going to play every game this season. So TJ Yeldon could definitely...
Injury risk, is that what I said?
I'll take that bet. Yeah, no, TJ Yeldon for sure. And Corey Clement is another one.
He's complimentary more.
Well, yeah, but Jay Ajayi is going to be the starting running back. And if there's any form of injury or, you know, he has the potential to become... You're drafting him as a handcuff.
Eagles offensive line.
Exactly. I think he's definitely one
and
that
a good quarterback. Yeah. All the boxes. Okay, and lastly, a late round flyer with high ceiling is maybe John Kelly or James Conner for me. Christian, a late round flyer with high ceiling.
So I actually kind of like Jonathan Williams. He's if you remember, he used to be with the Bills, and he was the guy who was backing up LeSean McCoy. The Saints have now signed him, and Mark Ingram is out for the first 4 weeks, and Jonathan Williams has been billed for the Mark Ingram role. As you remember, it's a pretty nice role in that offense that scores a lot of points, runs the ball a lot, and I think for the 4 weeks he can be a very good running back, and who knows what happens when Ingram gets back. Maybe they're like, you know, Jonathan Williams is killing it and is really cheap.
And Ingram's a contract year, so it's likely that they may not want to re-sign him anyway.
What team are we talking about?
We're talking about the New Orleans Saints.
The Saints, yeah, Ingram, yeah. Cool, just checking that I'm still got where my players are at.
You are nailing it.
I say another one that...
is never going to work, was it, Charles?
We just drafted him quite late.
One each or four each?
One, just one, is because we mentioned the Bills and your concern with the legal concern over LeSean McCoy. This is a guy who might be worth drafting until
this
we hear this is a guy who might be worth drafting.
Oh, don't say Chris Ivory.
I'm going to say Chris Ivory because
he
was at the Jets and then he was at the Jags. And now he's at the Bills but he's behind LeSean McCoy.
Sounds like a reliable player.
Yeah.
Well, but if LeSean McCoy is suspended for any period of time, he is the only guy in Buffalo. And with a late last round pick, with the potential to be a complete workhorse back, no matter how bad the team might be, and even he might be, that could potentially be good value. So that would be a late round flyer that I might be willing to take.
I'm just going to say my guy's name, not explain it. Matt Breider. He could be the number one running back.
You explained it. You then explained
isn't
it.
Isn't he a kicker?
No.
That's Matt Bryant.
I thought it was Prater.
Well, there's Matt Prater as well, yeah.
So Breider.
Breider.
Breider, right.
49ers.
Okay, cool. Time for halftime snacks. And a mention for Zing Zing, our sponsors. You can get 20% off your Chinese, the best Chinese takeaway in the UK, using the code 20bytes.
Both at JP's wedding, both managing directors of Zing Zing were there.
Yes, yeah, so they're probably struggling at the moment, so keep your orders piling in and watch them panic from abroad. Time for top three town. We had a bit of a top three town of our own out in Lisbon as Greeny was co-best man at the wedding.
I got too much exposure. I had the best man speech, and then I was walking around on local Portuguese radio.
Yeah, you delivered.
Oh God, I forgot about that. That was so awful. Sorry, it was great.
And then you ended up in the pool. And
you were
pants.
Talking about your Pascal Donadas for about 10 minutes. So that's that.
When
Charles and that's what I interviewed him about.
Oh, right. They were good.
They were
anyway, time for top three town. What have you got in store for us, Greeny?
I'm going to keep it brief. I've come across some new nicknames of players that I found quite interesting.
Nice.
Let's get into it. So we've got Stephen Roberts, who's a safety for the Eagles. He's a rookie. His nickname is Skinny Pimp.
Nice.
He's got a physique very similar to Adley, actually.
That's Adley's new nickname.
Oh, I was wondering if that was going to be ironic or not.
No, he's just a very slight man.
Does look like a skinny pimp.
Skinny pimp over there.
For those of you who are wondering what we look like.
Some great gossip coming through, which I'll reveal later.
Keep going. Please do. Running back. I won't tell you who it is. I'll tell you the nickname. It's El Tractorcito.
El Tractorcito.
Yeah.
Is he a Spanish tractor?
Do you know your Spanish?
Makes me think of Tractor Taylor from NBA. I don't know if anyone watches NBA.
This is an NFL podcast, okay?
No, we do not know that. It's like the equivalent of like Gary Breen for Coventry, probably that reference. Derek Henry. They call him the little tractor.
In Spanish?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's logical.
He's a big man. He's like 6'3" and something other pounds.
Yeah, very little.
15 stone.
It's like Mark Henry, the wrestler.
Hot chocolate.
Yeah.
Are they the same guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Same guy.
Trent Williams, the tackle for the Redskins. He's got the nickname Silverback, and he loved it so much that he embraced it. So he paid $150,000 for a Silverback Gorilla necklace. He got the Silverback Gorilla.
I genuinely thought you were going to say he bought a Silverback Gorilla. I'm livid you said necklace.
Yeah, quite a deal, right?
Yeah. They're dying species, so I hope you didn't. he got a tattoo.
I mean,
just come out.
All right, Brent.
He's got a tattoo on his back, and he's also got a painting in his basement of him blocking a gorilla.
Oh, that's quite cool.
Which is cool because he's a tackle. That's sure. What they do, Adley. And last one,
fuck off.
Romarius Smith. Romarius Smith, and his nickname is Ito.
Does he eat things?
No. Samuel Eto'o?
No, Ito, because when he was younger, it was during the O.J. Simpson trial, and his family member thought he looked like Judge Ito. The Asian man with a beard.
Okay.
Right. Probably shouldn't have said the last one. Well, racial.
I think they're being racist, if anything.
True.
There we go. Top three town.
On the point you made about the picture of him blocking a gorilla, did you see on Hard Knocks where the offensive line coach was basically shouting at saying, be a rhino. Blocked like a rhino, and it was
that when he was moving his stomach to the.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that as he was giving the kind of the commands. Yeah,
so it was. Move us into the next section.
It's a podcast. It's a podcast.
Time for naked attraction.
Oh, this is me.
Not sure why it's called that, but
new series. UK.
Who is someone that you will have to reach for as the risk of him going to someone else is too high? You need them, and no one else can have them. Good question. I get a bit like that. I get a bit panicky. I see someone I like. I'm like, I'm just going to go for them.
Who's that for you?
This year, for me, Stefon Diggs.
Ooh.
Round one.
He could be.
No, round two.
I mean, he could round actually two. Be a top three wide receiver.
Well, round so you're picking two. Him ahead of AJ Green or Julio Jones?
Where you're Julio Jones in round two.
You're picking in the ninth pick, so you'll be picking ninth overall and 15th overall. Julio could be there in the next pick, or maybe not.
There's no way. Okay, if I take OBJ round one at 9, and Julio or AJ Green are still there, do I go for them, or do I go for a running back?
I mean, we've discussed there are good running back options there. Later.
Kareem Hunt might be there, and he might be a good shout to balance out the team.
Devonta Freeman's very
just
good.
Just anything but Dalvin Cook.
Not Devonta Freeman. I think it's too early for him.
So that's what, anyway, okay. Who are you guys going to be reaching for? Anyone that you're kind of, you're giving away your secrets here and I'll just steal them, but you know, anyone you're reaching around for?
I quite like the idea of having someone on the Jags and this year, and in preseason, unfortunately, Marquise Lee, the number one receiver, has just been injured and is out for the year. And so a player who I really like, and I think was already going to be quite an underrated sleeper, but now even more so, is Keelan Cole.
You have to fight me for him, though.
Oh, for goodness.
And me.
Yeah, so Keelan Cole is someone I'm going to
What round does he normally go?
He normally goes ninth? Right... Yeah, well, no, he's normally going in like the 10th, 11th, so...
He's going in 8th for me.
Well, there we go.
Keelan Cole.
And what round do you... It's Keelan.
Keelan and Kel.
I'm taking in the 17th round.
Keelan Cole... Nick from Charles circa round 9. Okay. Written that down. Any other tips? Charles is livid because he knows I'll get him just to spite him. He's going in third. Greeny?
This isn't my main one because obviously we are drafty on the weekend.
No, do your main one.
Do your main one. No. Charles has. Oh, come
That's
on. Grow
preposterous.
Up.
Preposterous.
I'm going with Mike Williams for the Chargers.
But you're not.
Mike Williams, don't bother.
Mike Williams would have been
the 15th, 14th round
grow
pick.
Up, but now I'll drag him in the 12th.
No, so give us a proper name.
You're an idiot.
Give us a name.
Go on.
Name.
Do it. Greeny.
Golden Tate.
Oh, grow up. Next. Christian.
He's on your bus list.
I'll skip over my fake name. And I'll go straight to a guy.
This is a guy.
I paused when I looked up to Josh to see if he had noticed. Nelson Aguilar.
Noticed, he's rock solid.
Nelson Aguilar. Oh, from the Eagles.
Mm. Nelson Aguilar.
Agbonlahor. Yeah.
He's going
when? Like 9-10?
Yeah.
Yeah, 9-10.
How's that a proper one?
This is a proper one because I don't think enough people have taken into account that Jeffrey's probably not going to be a factor on this team. And there
apparently news came out today that he might only miss the first two games.
What's wrong with him? Injured? Suspended?
He is slightly injured.
I think there's a difference between missing the first two games and coming back and being a factor.
True.
He's an injury-prone guy. He's
always
off injured.
Been.
Yeah, every year.
Or
and
you could say... This is a guy who has injury problems.
I'm purposely rearranging my sentences for you, Josh.
No, it sounds good. I think it sounds good. Keep going.
And I really like what I saw from Nelson Aguilar last year. And
he was quality.
Yeah. After Zach Ertz, he steps in as the number two in an offense that is very balanced.
Yeah.
So, who's number one now?
Well, Zach Ertz was probably going to be the number one
receiver.
Receiver, even though he's a tight end.
But I don't think he's got any value really with Foles. So if Wentz is not back till week four or week five, I think you're looking at
bullshit.
Yeah, bullshit alert. I think the number one wide receiver on a team that just won the Super Bowl.
Did you watch the Super Bowl, Greeny?
Mike Wallace, Matt Collins, all these players will step up in place of Nelson Aguilar.
I'll give you a guy.
Give us a guy.
This is a
I'll
guy.
Take you around the corner and give you a guy. Here we go. Right.
That's mean, isn't it?
I'm hoping it wouldn't. Okay, so Doug Baldwin's come out and just said he is only going to be at 80% health all season. He's had that injury. They've also got rid of Paul Richardson. And today they've just signed a new contract with Tyler Lockett. They're tying him for 3 years for $30 million. So he's getting $10 million a year. He's someone who would be going later, but he's going to, in the next few days, you're going to see him fly up draft boards. And
what are we talking, around 10, 11?
7, 8.
Round seven, or eight.
you might actually have to get him around the seventh round where you could have got him in 10, 11 previously. So you're talking three rounds earlier just to snag a guy.
A guy.
I think you can wait a bit later than that. You're still pimp green to the post.
Getting carried
away. If you guys remember Tyler Lockett, he came out in 2015 and really took the league by storm. He's a stupid, stupid fast, kind of like in a Tyreek Hill mode.
Oh, I like him. When does he go? Hill.
Tyreek
Hill.
Third round. Yeah, beginning of the third.
Oh, so I'd have to go second.
Yeah.
No, end of the third.
No, you could potentially go...
Hill maybe
no,
third.
You won't make, you won't make
I won't
it
go,
right
I won't go triple wide
no,
receiver.
No, you can make him in the third. Although
triple wide receiver?
I like that all of Josh's draft plannings is happening live on the podcast.
Yeah, this is it.
Oh, because you haven't looked at anything.
Read out the sheet. Read out the sheet to the audience.
James Conner in the
Kenyon
first.
Kenyon Drake third round. Keelan Cole, Nick from Charles Cirque around 9, Aguilar around 9 or 10, Tyler Lockett 7, Hill 3.
Look at that. He's ready. Wait, he's ready, ladies and gentlemen.
You don't have 2 third round picks.
Yeah, but like one might not be there. Anyway, okay. I prefer Kenyon Drake. He's got a better name. Okay. Quick bit of gossip. Apparently that we have a listener in Australia who used to be Facebook friends with Greeny. Greeny, do you know who that is?
Jen?
Is it my girlfriend?
No, it's not your girlfriend.
Okay.
It's the cousin of someone who Christian had a shower with on the wedding. Let's move on. Jimmy says, who are each of our dark horses for the season? Oh, I like that question. Christian, you got a dark horse?
Yeah, it's... First of all, picking any dark horse in the NFC is like it's just a bad idea because it's such a stupid, talented conference. But I really like the Giants. They only won 3 games last year, but there's just too much talent not to do really well.
Giants, okay.
Stolen my answer. So I'll go the Browns. I know it's easy to say with Hard Knocks. And
following the hype?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I had the Giants, but I'll go with the Browns because they...
Greeny?
They can't be worse.
I think the Broncos will be a lot better.
Oh, don't know about that. I'm going to go Lions, actually.
I have the... I wrote down the Lions, but...
Adley's had the Lions.
I said because they're crap, and you all go, oh, wait till later, so I assume that they're...
I assume they're now good. Yeah.
It's a great answer.
Yeah.
Well have we, answer.
Can anyone think of that running back that I was talking about still driving me mad? What? Pass-catching running back.
Danny Woodhead.
No, but it's like that.
It's got to be Danny Woodhead.
No.
You're thinking Edelman, the wide receiver.
No, he...
Jonas Gray.
He was playing... I'm pretty sure he's playing for the Patriots or another blue team.
Or an... blue
Shane Vereen.
Oh, Shane Vereen.
Shane Vereen.
Oh.
Well,
I win.
Very, he's at the Giants very well
that,
done.
I think that replaces Charlie's trivia and I do
But
win.
He was a pass-catching running back.
Yes,
yeah?
That's a very good.
Okay, Marie says, without fantasy football, what would you do with all this free time? Great question, Marie.
What would you do?
I got loads of shit to do. I like playing chess online.
You're making a house out of Excel people. Right I'm, now. So you...
I'm trying to make a house. That's I'm not making anything. I'd play chess. I would maybe go down the driving range. I mean, I say this. I don't really spend much time on fantasy football anyway. You guys do. I don't know what I'd do. I probably wouldn't be watching Red Zone as much, that's for sure. So I'd have a lot of free time. Christian, what would you do with your free time?
There'd be a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably date
more. Showers?
Date more. What kind
That's of, a good one. I'll probably
anyone,
date more.
Any
Jay won't be listening.
Any single ladies in New York listening out? We've got a lovely looking man in front of us. Knows a lot about NFL.
Just read
this guy.
Time Out Magazine, 2016, Article 5.
This is a guy who can tell you a thing or two about a guy. So maybe a bit of dating. Charles, what would you be doing? Maybe a little chatting with the wife?
I'd probably give her the time of day for a change. I think I misunderstood the question. I thought that without the fantasy football the league starting up, what would I do? And I just probably just carry on doing mock drafts. So
that is the saddest thing I've ever heard. Greeny, what would you be doing?
So I gave it a little bit of thought.
That's not fun.
And so my family have got this compulsive nature to track things. So, you know, they get really...
Were you raised by wolves?
But what I mean by that is that whilst our family are obsessed
I'm a bit concerned
also with...
I just spent quite a bit of time with your family. Yeah, I'm not sure what things. They've tracked.
Like my whereabouts constantly. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you eat the food they provided you? No, so we love the Premier League fantasy. That aside, I've got an uncle who's tracking windmill speeds because he's invested in that kind of wind energy. I've got a cousin who's tracking...
I really wish you hadn't thought about this question.
And
What was the second example? What was the second example?
My cousin windmills.
No, hold on.
My cousin tracks airplanes.
No, he doesn't.
Mid-air.
David?
Yeah. He can tell you... You can look up, he can tell you what flight
no, he
that
can't.
Is.
No, he, no
from
chance.
From where to where.
No chance.
100%.
That
I saw him the other day. He's got a lovely new dog.
And then I've got cousins also who are obsessed with Bitcoin.
And a puppy.
So I imagine I'd be, I don't know, just obsessively compulsing over the
inventory. What would you track? What would you reckon you'd be tracking? That's quite a good question. What would you track if you had to track something?
All right, Pocahontas.
Come on, what would you be tracking?
What would I track?
What interests you?
What does interest me?
ADP.
Charles, what similar would be for you? You know, you got really obsessed with the Pokemon Go thing.
Charles, what would you track?
What would be next for you?
I wouldn't track. I'd just get addicted to PlayStation or something. I'd get addicted
to the PlayStation.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, I don't... What,
Christian, what would you be tracking?
I would be tracking all the things that Greeny's family's tracking.
Yeah.
Just, like, generally keep track
of it. I'd just be tracking Greeny.
That's meta.
That was my list.
Yeah. Okay, well, I hope we've answered your question, Marie. Sophie P, where will Dez land this season, and what is the best spot for him?
He will not be signed, and he might never play again.
Really? Why? What's wrong with him?
Big.
Isn't he like a top 10 running back, wide receiver?
Well, he was a few years back.
What's wrong with him now? Is it his discipline? Is it his...
I think it's a bit of everything.
Injuries? I don't know.
He's not looked as good. He's a problem in the dressing room. He's just a bit of a
head case. Reminds me a bit of Terrell Owens.
But not as good any measurement.
How about this? Corey Davis and Tyrone Taylor
enter a bar.
Fail to do anything, be effective at all for the
Who's
wide
Corey
receivers.
Davis? Wide receivers.
You drafted Corey Davis last year, Adley. He was a rookie wide receiver.
Corey Coleman.
No,
you had both.
Yeah, Corey Davis was a rookie wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, he was meant to be amazing.
This is a guy who got drafted in the first round of the NFL draft last year. And is a big body guy.
Actual draft, not fancy.
Yeah, I think we should change the name of this to "This Is a Guy." That's actually a really good name for a podcast. I'm starting a new podcast with just me and Christian. Carry on.
And he could have a very big year this year, and Greeny might.
But he could also not have a big year, and Des Bryant could be the number one wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans.
Why don't you track whether he's doing
well or not? To be in that city.
If there's a lot of injuries, you're saying a team's going to come begging. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's effectively what's going to happen. He said he would take his time. He got an offer of less than $5 million from the Browns. He didn't like it. He said he wants to take time.
I don't get out of bed
for less than $5 million.
Yes. He's the backup to the Ravens.
The backup? That really is.
He's a third QB.
RG3.
Okay, but I'll give you a straight answer. I don't think it'll happen, but I think a really good spot for him would be a place like New England, because they have a history of taking these guys who are unmotivated, have been a little bit of locker room cancers, and they buy into the Patriot way or else they get out.
I think that's overrated. What, you know, when we talk about that, because you think of players like Chad Okosinko or others who have come to the Patriots and not paid a pass camp and just been released.
I think that's exactly
what Christian said.
Yeah,
do what the Patriots say or go home.
I think a good place in could be the Broncos with
they
that
got too
guy
many
who was very
they,
good at wide receiver. Demaryius Thomas,
drafted three
Emmanuel Sanders,
Emmanuel
Sutton.
I think you should have Des Bryant in there. Thomas heads out somewhere else. He heads out to the Rocky Mountains.
So they're both
further.
4 years ago, they both broke the market of the wide receiver floor before.
They both broke the floor. Okay. Can I just add one very quick thing before we finish? What are the key terms to listen out for in the draft? There's one thing which you always say, which is upside, and that is a player that could become good. Is that correct?
Yes, it's someone. Yeah.
Any other terms that are going to be flown around that I don't understand?
Safe.
Well, I get that. Anything else?
Upside. Reaching. Lots of reaching.
I get that. Quinn, are you having meltdown? Okay, just upside then. Thanks, Christian, for joining us. I've enjoyed. I think it's better than normal, isn't it? Really, I think JP's never returning. Quinn, is this your last ever episode? Do you want to say goodbye?
Maybe we'll do one more.
Okay,
nice
to save me the
to save the emotions. Well, thanks very much. You can tweet us at Brits_Endzone, or that's probably our best means of contact. I don't really know the others. speak to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.